trust in his word, then he will pass, will pass over you. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Judgment is coming.
It's good to be back in the Lord's house, amen. And I enjoyed that song tonight, When I Pass Over You. And of course, that's the song from the judgments, the plagues there in Egypt, and God passing over when he saw the blood. And I came in tonight, Brother Wisdom, I was getting ready for the kids' class downstairs, and they're going through the 10 plagues. And he was telling me they brought in these frogs, not real frogs, though that would have been interesting. And then some crickets, I guess, or locusts and things, some plastic bugs and critters and things like that. And anyways, the kids are going to get a real experience tonight. And then I said, well, Brother Jack's preaching, so I may leave the service tonight and go downstairs in the kids' class. Amen. What a blessing. But aren't you glad for God's grace and God's mercy? Amen. Through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it's good to be here tonight. Glad you're here. I could think of no better way to close out the year than to be in God's house, and no better way to start out the year than being in God's house next Sunday, this coming Sunday, and looking forward to what God has for us. But let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Good to see the Cullison family here tonight, church planters in Ogallala, Nebraska. How about that? And got to be a part of his ordination into the ministry. And we just had your sending pastor here Sunday, amen, Brother Ben Quinlan. So, Brother Cullison, why don't you pray for us tonight? Amen. You may be seated tonight. Well, of course, tonight our youth director, Brother Jack Parker, is going to be preaching. This is my last night off. I have enjoyed some time to hear men of God preach, and it's been a blessing. And came in today, finally came into the office today and done some real pastoral work, like cleaning the toilets and the bathrooms and wiping the windows down and stuff like that. And makes you feel like the man of God, amen, and good stuff. But looking forward to tonight, and then of course getting back into our regular services on Sunday and what God has for us. But just wanted to mention a few quick announcements. Of course, Brother Jack be preaching tonight, and then of course tomorrow, Thursday and Friday, with the holidays and stuff, the church offices will be closed, but I'll probably be up here working and doing some stuff and getting with it. But did want to mention this, that there is snow in the forecast. And so we do have things kind of set up for the parking lot to be plowed. I know it's supposed to snow through the night, Thursday night and into Friday. And so we've got things set up for the parking lot to be plowed. And so men, if you could kind of be on hand for Saturday morning and maybe doing some sidewalk cleaning and things like that, we would sure appreciate that. And then, of course, services on Sunday, January the 3rd. And we'll be starting out in our Sunday school hour, getting into a new series of lessons on abiding in Christ, and then getting back into the book of Revelation on Sunday morning and the life of Moses on Sunday night. And then Monday, January the 4th, Faith Baptist School will be starting back up. And so all of our kids will be going back to school. And then we have a couple of other things lined up in January. January the 16th, which is on a Saturday, be our church-wide outreach at 10:30 in the morning. And then also January the 18th, which is on a Monday, there'll be no school in light of Martin Luther King Jr. Day. And so wanted to mention those things. January is going to kind of be a relatively light month. Of course, that's probably a good thing with all of the different weather and stuff that we experience here. But, of course, wanted to mention this, that they did cancel the Church Planters Conference there at Heartland Baptist Bible College this year, and so, or this coming year. And so we won't be attending that. But anyways, just wanted to mention those things. All right, let's go ahead tonight. And if you've got your prayer list, let's get those out. And let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight. Hopefully you got a new prayer list. Do have some updates and things I wanted to mention tonight. Just very, very briefly here. Had one that we needed to add on there. And I got a text today from Brother David Griffin and the Griffin family that's been out of town traveling with their family and visiting with them in Oklahoma. And so he texted me today, Miss Sherry's stepmom, Jeannie Wolf, passed away unexpectedly. And so if you would pray for the Jeannie Wolf family, and that's Wolf, W-O-L-F-E, and pray for them for bereavement. And then also wanted to mention two tonight that are already on our prayer list under the health issues. About halfway down is my stepdad, Bobby Cook. And he has COPD, and we have been praying for him and got a text from my mom this afternoon and had to take him to the ER, and they actually went ahead and admitted him and trying to get some of the fluid off of his body and around his heart so that he can breathe a little bit better. And so wanted to ask if you would pray for him. He is in the hospital there in Pensacola, Florida. And then also wanted to ask if we would pray, just a few names down from that is a Miss Kathy Chadwick, and that is Miss Shelby Dawson's grandmother that we have been praying for. Mentioned last week that she has been now diagnosed with congestive heart failure, and so she is now on hospice. And so wanted to ask if you would pray for them and for that family. I know they would appreciate that. Are there any other updates or prayer requests or anything tonight? Yes, ma'am, Miss Gloria. Okay, so that's Miss Virginia Potts, and of course she's had gallbladder, what started out as gallbladder issues, and before they can do the gallbladder surgery, they found out she had heart problems, and so she's going to have some stents put in, and that's January the 12th. All right, we'll sure be praying for Miss Virginia Potts, absolutely. All right, Natalie? Stan Crawford, okay. 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 Okay, so that's Stan Crawford, that's Miss Laura Quinlan's grandfather and has been diagnosed with COVID. And then also if we could continue to pray for Miss Elda Fault. She actually had COVID and has been doing okay, but just continuing to decline. And so let's continue to pray for her. I believe in February she'll be 102. I think. And so let's remember her in prayer. Anybody else tonight have a prayer request or an update or anything like that? All right, it's relatively quiet tonight. All right, let's go ahead and have our young men come tonight. Amen. I guess when the older guys get in here, I can call them old men. Amen. It's good to have our guys home from Heartland and helping out with the ushering. All right. Brother Luke Quinlan, why don't you pray for us tonight? Amen. Normally, again, we do a missions update on Wednesday night, and Brother Tim does that. He is the jack of all trades right now with Brother Eric on vacation. But tonight, we actually have another video update, and this one is from our missionary, Miss Jenny Carpenter, that's sent out of Faith Baptist Church here in Olathe, Kansas. Amen. And, of course, we've been praying for her. She had to make a quick return home to have her hearing implants worked on. And she is also trying to apply for dual citizenship there in Ecuador. And so this is an update from her. And so we're going to play that for you tonight.
Hello, prayer warriors, sending you greetings from the middle of the world, Ecuador. As many of you know from my last update, that I had to go to the States for a few weeks to have some work done on my cochlear implant. As many of you know, the coil had gone out and I was left being able to hear for a very, very short time. The Lord was so gracious and He quickly got me back. And now I'm back in Ecuador and we're preparing for the Christmas time, and the Lord's doing some wonderful things. It's amazing to see how the Lord is working in the people's lives. Just this past weekend, we were able to hold ladies' meetings in person. But please pray. It's during these next couple of weeks, it's going to be a crucial time as the government is talking about shutting down the country during the Christmas time to prevent the COVID spread. This can affect a lot of people during work and all different things. Also pray for our ministries as we approach the new year. We have a lot of things planned, and Lord willing, the schools might possibly open up again, and we'll be able to reach out to the children again. We thank you for your prayers and ask that you continue to pray for us as we approach this new year. Feliz Navidad. Merry Christmas.
What a blessing. Brother Alan Quinlan, would you stand and pray for Miss Jenny Carpenter tonight and all of our missionaries? I think it would be probably mundane to say, and I think everybody here knows this, but it's been a battle for us through this year with the COVID and trying to deal with all of the things and managing government and laws and restrictions and all of those things. Our missionaries have had a time of it as well. So, Brother Quinlan.
Thank you. please stand, take your hymnals, and turn to hymn number 50. Hymn number 50. Praise Him, praise Him. We'll sing all three verses of hymn number 50.
Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. Excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins He suffered and bled and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation.
Some wonderful singing. Get your Bibles out, please.
Amen. Well, again, it's good to have Brother Jack Parker preaching tonight. And so, Brother Jack, you come ahead. All right.
All right. Thank you so much, Pastor. Always such a blessing to get to have the opportunity to preach the Word of God to my church family. Certainly never want to take that for granted. So thank you, preacher, for the opportunity. And well, we'll just get right into it tonight. So since you're already standing, take your Bibles if you would. We'll be in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke tonight, and chapter 17. Hard to believe that another year is coming to a close. And that idea was certainly on my mind as I was kind of preparing an end-of-the-year message here and was even laboring for a little bit on what to preach, but the Lord just made it very clear to just be faithful to the series He's had us in for a while. So just keeping on going in the book of Luke. So we'll have a little bit of review tonight, catching up where we've been at, but I think it'll be a blessing to us tonight. So if you would look with me here in Luke 17, I'll begin reading in verse number 5. The Bible says, "And the apostles said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. And the Lord said, If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye might say unto the sycamine tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. But which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he's come from the field, Go and sit down to meat? And will not rather say unto him, Make ready wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself and serve me till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink? Doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, We are unprofitable servants. We've done that which was our duty to do." This is an interesting passage here tonight because it's kind of a conclusion to a couple chapters and a half long conversation of preaching and teaching that has taken place. And we'll go over a little bit of all that here tonight, but it's an important closure to see how Jesus has taught time and time again this group of people of some sinners, the Pharisees, and even his own disciples a lot about faith here tonight. And I think that's something that's been a trial for many in the year 2020, and it certainly will probably be in the year to come. But it's an important lesson for all of us to remember tonight. So let's pray, we'll get into it. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much, God, for your grace. Lord, has been sung about tonight. Lord, we're so thankful, God, for your mercy and your grace, Lord, even throughout this year. Lord, you're so faithful, God. And Lord, I pray tonight that the message would be a blessing to these folks, Lord, as it has challenged me, even thinking ahead to the new year and what's taken place this year. Lord, I pray tonight that it would be your words and not mine, and that the message would be clear. Lord, thank you, God, for all that you do, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing. You may be seated. Now, as I mentioned here, this larger conversation began all the way back in Luke chapter 15. This is kind of the portion of the Gospel of Luke where it starts to get a little bit unique from Matthew and Mark. They share a lot of similar miracles and similar parables and such, but starting here in Luke 15 up to now, there's some unique parables, and Luke 15 has three very famous parables. We have the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the prodigal son, all taking place there in Luke chapter 15. And it begins there with this conversation as Jesus is preaching and teaching to the publicans and sinners that are there. The Pharisees, once again, come to him, as so often they do throughout the Gospels there, deriding him and putting him down. How could you talk to these sinners, these lowly people, these regular people? Because the Pharisees were way too special for that. But that's what's so beautiful about the book of Luke, is that he didn't just come for a certain class of people or a certain race of people over here. No, he came for everybody. He came and lived a perfect, sinless life and shed his blood on the cross for every single one of us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So that's why Jesus, time and time again through the Gospel of Luke, will preach and will teach and spend time with the very people he came to die for, every single one of them. And we see that picture beautifully in Luke 15 as the lost sheep, the lost coin, the prodigal son, all different aspects of really just coming to him in faith. I mean, there's few greater pictures than the prodigal son coming home, repenting of his wicked and sinful life, recognizing that he had sinned and he needed to make it right. It's exactly what we have to do, to repent and to turn and place our faith and our trust in him. And then as Luke 16 continues on there, begins with a parable of the unjust steward who was unfaithful. And we'll even see that contrasted here tonight with the example we read of a faithful servant. But the unjust steward who was unfaithful, untrustworthy to his master, trying to manipulate for his own finances, his own gain there in Luke 16, as Jesus is trying to teach his disciples to not do that, but to be faithful, to be counted on, to be trustworthy there. The importance of being faithful in every aspect of life, because as that unjust steward there, he lost the faith and trust of his own master, which lost him his job, his finances, his security, and then couldn't find any others because, well, he wasn't trusted there, so now he's not trusted anywhere. Ruined it. That greed and that pride destroyed his life, destroyed his reputation. Then the latter half of Luke 16 is a rather humbling passage and probably one of the most well-known in all of the book of Luke, that account being of the rich man and Lazarus. And again, keep in mind, the audience here, Jesus is still preaching to this group of sinners, teaching his disciples, and as well making the message very clear to the Pharisees, who at this point in Luke 16 have once again put him down. They just finished hearing him talk about all these different parables, all these different things. And then in response to that, now he gives the true story of the rich man and Lazarus. Probably one of the most vivid pictures in all the Word of God of hell and what hell is truly like. The burning, the suffering, the misery. How that rich man is still there. He's still there to this very day, still begging for that drop of water, any sort of relief that will never, ever come. It's sad. It's scary. I remember preaching that to our teenagers and watching the room just instantly go silent. the minute you start bringing up hell. Because sometimes it can seem like all just fun and games or just these little cute kid stories, but then when you really start talking about the real stuff and they get it, this is serious stuff. This is eternal consequences for sin. Hell is real, just as much as heaven is real, and it ought to prompt us to serve God more, because there's a lost and dying world that Jesus died for, and how shall they hear if we aren't out there sharing the gospel? It's a sad and scary story, but it's a very real one. And I also love the picture there of as both these men died, you know, the rich man died and went to hell, separated from God for all eternity, but the beggar, and I try to make this very clear, it's not just because he was a beggar, or, oh, it's just a story, well, he was probably a nice guy. Life kind of was hard on him, so he got to go. No. There's only one way to go to heaven. There's only one way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. Makes it clear. You trust Christ as your Savior or not. Doesn't sugarcoat it. And as Jesus is trying to get this gathering of people to understand that hell is real. Hell is real. It's real, and unless you trust Christ as your personal Savior, then that, my friend, is what's in store for you in eternity. Now, okay, we've reviewed a lot, and we're almost done. Now we're at Luke 17. Jesus teaching his disciples here at the beginning of the chapter about forgiveness. I love in that first verse saying that it's impossible, but that offenses will come. You will get hurt. There will be trials. Your feelings will get hurt. It won't always be easy. This is after a whole conversation of just getting put down by the Pharisees, just being derided and disgraced and made fun of and mocked over and over and over again for just sharing the gospel, preaching, teaching, performing miracles, put down over and over again. It's impossible, but the offenses will come. It's going to happen. But even if they offend you 7 times in a day, forgive. Forgiveness. How many times have we hurt the Lord or failed or disappointed him? Yet he's so faithful each and every time to forgive us. Well, now that we've gone over the last month and a half of lessons in the teen department, gets us to tonight. Well, we needed to cover all that because the question here that the disciples posed to Jesus in the first verse tonight, verse number 5, it really does tie all of those things together. They ask him, Lord, increase our faith. Really, that relates back to everything that he's been preaching and teaching since chapter 15. Think about the faith example of the prodigal son, placing your faith and trust in salvation, that repentance and faith. We saw the unfaithful steward and the contrast there that we need to be faithful servants. The picture of heaven and hell. How do you go to heaven? Placing your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Over and over and over again, he's been teaching them about faith. And yet they ask him here now to increase their faith. And I love this picture as the Lord said in verse number 6, if he had faith as a grain of mustard seed, just a grain, not even just the mustard seed, but like if you smashed it with a hammer and there's just a little tiny piece left, just that much faith, just the grain of mustard seed, you could tell the sycamine tree to be plucked up by its roots, then transferred and planted by its roots in the sea. Now that's the kind of faith that the disciples are thinking of here. They have seen Jesus perform all these incredible miracles, and they are ready to like rip trees out of the ground and throw them in the ocean. That is the kind of powerful faith that they've got in their minds. They're like, okay, yeah, this is great. How do we get that? And while I've not quite seen something to the physical marvel of watching a tree ripped from the ground, I've certainly seen some incredible displays of faith in my own personal life that you can look at a situation or a person's life and certainly say that that was the Lord. There was no other way that could have happened. In fact, times in just life can be more incredible than a tree being moved from here to there, because God works in incredible ways. His ways are higher than our ways, and his thoughts are above our thoughts. And here, before the disciples get too excited about tearing trees up out of the ground, verse number 7. But before they get too excited here, Jesus asks them, which of you, if you had a servant, if you were a servant that just got back from working his normal day out in the field, doing what's expected of him, doing the work of a servant, working with the cattle, and then he comes back into the home, is it normal for him to just sit down and eat? Probably not. No, typically a faithful, good servant that Jesus has been preaching about, right? The faithful servants in those pictures there is going to come in from doing what's expected of them and then serve their master. They're faithful, they're good, they're going to keep serving him. This verse number 9, doth he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when she shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. The idea here being just kind of doing that just enough. Just doing the basics of the job. Because there's a huge difference between just doing the minimum, just getting the job done, and going that second mile. Doing extra. Doing more. Going above and beyond what's just the basic requirement. Because verse number 10, if you do just what's commanded of you, your attitude ought to be, we are unprofitable servants. I've only done the bare minimum. And that's not enough. It's not enough to just settle for the basics. It's like just showing up at your job and doing exactly what's expected of you. Great, you should do that. I've met plenty of folks who don't even get to that level. Just show up and do what's expected of you. But you're probably not going to get a whole bunch of rewards and accolades and promotions for just doing what's expected. But when you look for ways to do more, to go that extra mile, to go above and beyond, to increase in the workplace, to increase in your work, to increase in your service, that's where rewards start to come in. And Jesus wants his disciples here to understand that that ought to be your attitude in serving the Lord. Not just being satisfied with the bare minimum of Christianity, but wanting to do more for God, to go above and beyond, be a second mile servant of Jesus Christ. That's the idea here. How can I serve more? Where can I serve more, Lord? How can I do more for you? Because you've already done everything for me. It's like when you get a waiter at a restaurant. Because there's a clear difference between just an okay waiter. They'll take your order. It might be right. They'll refill your water once. They probably forgot to put the lemon in it that you asked for. And that's pretty much the extent of the waiter. You don't remember their name. Probably not going to get a great tip. It was okay. And that's not even a great reflection on the restaurant either. You're like, oh, it was okay. But when you get a great waiter, like Lori, I'll never forget Lori. Lori that worked at Stella's in Billings, Montana. This was the greatest breakfast place I've ever been to. Lori was awesome. She was a little bit older lady, but she was out there. They gave us a table outside. First of all, the cinnamon roll probably weighed more than me, and it was delightful, and I ate all of it. And it hurt, but it was okay. Anyway, the food was great, and that was awesome. She kept refilling coffee. Like, every 45 seconds, Lori was back with more coffee. And that's already on the path to good waitress right there. But Lori went the second mile because, for some reason, the patio out there was covered with bees. But instead of just sending us inside immediately, no, Lori got the electric tennis racket and was out there, like, chasing down the bees, getting them for us. Like, I'm so sorry that there's bees out here, but I'll get them, don't worry. And she is going to town just taking out these bees for us. And eventually we got them all out of there and everything, but Lori was just awesome. Then gave us like 10 boxes to go. She's like, you want to-go coffee? Yeah, I want to-go coffee. And they even give a little survey thing at the end, like, how was your experience? We're like, Lori is the best. We will tell everyone, come here and ask for Lori. But it's true. And see, this example's here true because the difference between the, it was just okay, waiter, and then someone like Lori, who I still remember, and I'm going to tell other people, go to that restaurant because they have a good reputation because this person went the second mile. And her level of service, her level of faithfulness and care for just two people having breakfast was a reflection on the establishment. And when we have that second mile service for our Lord, it's a testimony for what he's done in your life. Your life and your testimony can at times be the most clear presentation of the gospel that people will hear. Because people can look at your life and see your attitude, your countenance, your dress, how you carry yourself. It can be a wonderful reflection of what God has done for your life. It should be the type of servant that we want to be for our Savior, desiring to do more for the one who already did everything for us. Because that attitude, there's humility. A humble servant recognizing that we aren't perfect. We haven't already arrived. We haven't figured everything out. We just want to serve Him. So my question then for you all tonight is, how can you do more for the Lord in 2021 than maybe you did this year? Because I recognize that the year's over and what? I don't have a watch on. It's just kind of to mime it, but a couple days. So, with that's kind of in mind here, what can you do in the coming year more than perhaps you did this year? How can you do more for the Lord? Because honestly, that should be every one of our desires in here tonight. We should want to do more for God. We should want to serve Him. Because like I mentioned, nobody's arrived. Nobody in here is done spiritually growing. No one has hit the top yet or the peak of it. Nobody's perfect. So that means that everybody in here can do more. Every single one of us. And it has to begin tonight with what so much of Jesus has already preached throughout these different passages and this teaching here. It must begin with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that's by placing your faith and trust in Him and Him alone for salvation. That's where that must begin. And there's no better way to start out a new year than having a new life. Putting off the old man and putting on the new man would be a wonderful way to start off your new year. So if you've not made that decision tonight, if there's anybody in here tonight that can't think back to that time and place in their life where they call upon Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, then my friend, you're just like that rich man tonight. And the only hope of eternity you have is one spent in hell, separated from God forever. That man's still there because that's it. So you have the opportunity tonight to humble yourself and to call upon Him as your Lord and Savior. And if you've done that tonight, well then, it's time to serve Him. That's the beginning, but then the service part's got to start somewhere too. Being faithful to church. That's a good start. Being faithful in your Bible reading. We've got Bible reading calendars right back there. Maybe that's something you've been struggling with. Hey, there you go. You got a new day, a new year, a new year's resolution. It's a perfect way to start right there. Growing in your prayer life. Sharing the gospel with coworkers, with family members. The holidays with so many friends and family from all across the country potentially coming to see you. What better opportunity to invite them to church, to share the gospel with them. Even just loving other people. Being nice. Even in 2020 where no one can see each other's face and everybody's so grumpy, just be nice to other people. Being kind. Like He taught the disciples, forgiving one another, praying for one another, loving one another, caring about other people. Because sometimes we take the simple things like that for granted and forget how essential to the Christian life they truly are. That's the basics that can get neglected. But then second mile, servants for Christ. Really, the idea is just being willing to humble yourself, recognize that you haven't arrived yet, desiring to grow in the Lord and grow in your spiritual life, looking for ways maybe to help here at church, trying to be a blessing to your fellow church members, to other people. We had a long prayer list tonight of folks who were struggling, folks who were going through some tough times. There's a whole list of ways right there that you can be a blessing to somebody, to pray for those people, to share the gospel everywhere you go, to give more to our missionaries, Miss Jenny Carpenter. So many ways that you can do more for the Lord. And if your attitude out there tonight is, well, I already do everything. Well, good news, I just found something you can do. Humble yourself, never mind. That joke did not work, and that's okay. No, seriously though, tonight, folks, if you aren't even doing the basics, then tonight would be a great night to start. But if you're in a place tonight where those basics have become routine and consistent, what's dangerous about routine is that sometimes you can miss the importance of it. You can just be going through the motions. Doing it, well, I just do it every day. Have you ever stopped and thought, is the Lord really trying to talk to me here, or is it just kind of words on a page? because he is trying to speak to you. Are you listening? Are you the kind of witness and testimony that you ought to be at work? Because no matter what's happened this year, God's still good. No matter what happens in the coming year, he's still going to be good. And he is still faithful each and every day. And as we begin this new year, I'm thankful for a passage like this that has challenged me. Because I haven't arrived yet either. Never going to. Because we all can do more for the Lord. And I don't know what 2021 has in store. None of us do. None of us do. But I do know that he's faithful no matter what. And as I look kind of to the end of this passage and the end of this conversation here, his disciples' question of, Lord, increase our faith. Well, they sort of answered their question. Because when you increase your faithfulness to God, and you're placing your faith and trust in him by being faithful to him, look at that, your faith is increasing. Because as you do more for him, you rely upon him more. And that's increasing your faith. So, folks, where are you at tonight? Do you need to increase your faithfulness? Because that'll increase your faith. Let's stand here tonight. Heavenly Father,